Hey, everybody, today on the Charlie Kirk Show, where do the midterms stand? I'm getting nervous. Things are not where they should be heading into November. Rich Barris talks to us about that, and I'd love your thoughts. Email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. Do you think that the abortion issue is one that we could potentially lose on in November? Now, I'm 100% pro-life. You guys know that. But I'm a little worried that the hyper-focusing on the issue made by the left wants us to focus on it, could spell some doom coming into November. Maybe I'm wrong. Email me, freedom@charliekirk.com, and support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com. The wonderful andrewandtodd.com. I'll be very honest. I'm getting worried about November. I am not confident. So maybe my friend and the great pollster can convince me otherwise. Rich Barris is with us. Rich, welcome back to the program. I'm getting increasingly worried and nervous. I'm seeing Republicans not raise as much money. I'm seeing some polling slips. Am I wrong? What's going on here, Rich?
Yeah, thanks, Charlie, for having me as always, man. I wouldn't worry too much about the polling, but I'm looking at the same thing with fundraising that you are. And, you know, for instance, and I've been saying this for a while, I think leadership, especially since they're losing these fights with MAGA, you know, whatever you want to call it, they're losing a lot of fights with the America First wing. I really don't think they want to win some of these races, you know, so. But my good old pal over there in Michigan 3, John Gibbs, Kevin McCarthy still hasn't even returned his phone call. So, and he's not the only one. So, you know, all of these races where we have seen, their people lose. And then what normally happens, folks, is that the primary sews up, the Republican Party gets a nominee, and then everyone, you know, gets on the same page and figures out how they can help each other. And they do that, in this cycle, they're not doing that. So a lot of candidates are forced to rely on other groups that they had alliances with already for spending, but that's not the way it should be. This is something that's intentional this year, Charlie.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, Rich, and then we can go into some specific state by state stuff. Why is it that Republicans are being so outraged? I have my personal opinions. Yeah. I've gone through them prior, but it is a blowout. Democrats are outraising us 8-1, 10-1, 15-1 in certain races. What's going on here, Rich? It's not a red wave equation.
No, you know, Democrats have typically done better with fundraising, but they've mastered the use of dark money, Charlie, something that they couldn't stand. Remember Citizens United?
Yeah, I remember.
I mean, we're both old enough to remember that. They hated it. Barack Obama used it in his State of the Union to basically trash Justice Alito. And in the end, they embraced it better than anybody. So there's also the part of the equation here, which is that Donald Trump is like a vacuum, sucking money away from typical entities like the National Republican.
Trump has $100 million, right? He's sitting on. Is that right?
It's an enormous amount of money. But that's hurting leadership funds. Now, I'm not saying, I'm not telling people where to put their money one way or the other. But when it comes to campaigns, you can only raise so much. So you always have to rely on leadership committees or outside groups. And right now, Democrats, they're getting along with whomever they nominate. And they're using their normal committees that can raise a lot more money than individual campaigns. We're not seeing that here. We're seeing Republican voters hold and donors hold their money from the leadership PACs and there's only so much campaigns can raise. They're limited.
Yeah, but we're getting in the crunch time here, Rich. I'll be honest. You know, I'm a big Blake Masters fan, as you well know. I live here in Arizona.
He's getting killed on the air, though.
Killed. Oh, no, I mean, there's no fight. You're on the air. Yeah. I mean, there's not even a response. I mean, I kid you not. We're on Real America's Voice television every day, 2 hours. So I go back home and kind of decompress later in the evening. I just turn it on to watch Jack Posobiec. This is conservative over-the-top television. So you have to buy the ad in conservative OTT. 4 Mark Kelly ads in a row on conservative media. I'm scrolling through to find out when the Ducks of Oregon are playing Georgia, and there are 5 embedded in the ESPN app of anti-Blake Masters ads, not 1-4. And obviously, you know, we had Blake on the show. We're trying to get him help. He just says, Charlie, I don't have the money. I can't. I have a couple hundred grand. We're getting destroyed right now. And so how, let me ask you this way, Rich, if it does not improve, what does that mean for November? Because it's bad right now.
Well, it will have an impact. You know, there's no doubt it will have an impact. I just want to say, though, too, that it really does depend on whether or not this ends up being a wave or not, Charlie, because I just used this on the show earlier. Look at Sweeney in New Jersey, for instance. He got clobbered by a guy who spent $50 or $90 on Dunkin' Donuts in Southern Jersey.
Yep.
And the Democratic leader in the Senate went down because, you know, everyone's changing their tune now because they want to make it look better for Democrats. But all these so-called models, they're using fundraising as an excuse. They're really just moving those polls because of, I mean, they're moving those ratings because of their, you know, bad summer polling, which we see every cycle. But in the end, if it is a wave, it takes those poor fundraisers with them. And I'm not calling Blake a poor fundraiser. I'm just saying.
No, I mean, he has institutional obstacle. Yeah. He had a very expensive primary. He's also up against the best funded Senate candidate ever, period. Mark Kelly's the best funded Senate candidate ever. So, Rich, let's go kind of around the horn here. I'm just going to start with one state. We're hosting an event with Ron DeSantis coming up in this state. Pennsylvania. Yeah. I mean, I looked at some polling. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I thought the numbers were inverted. It says that Oz is down 18 points and Mastriano down 13. Is this true? What's going on here?
No, this is crazy. This is, we're going to get into the crazy, silly season, the Biden plus 17 season again. And by the way, they kept that up all the way till the week before the election. Some of these pollsters, that's crazy.
They should be arrested for fraud for doing this stuff.
It is fraud.
It's so dishonest. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying it's either there are some people who just stink, but something like that is gross fraud. Where's the rest of the you know, because somebody had showed me that poll yesterday and my response was, where's the rest of it? You cannot put out a poll that is that ridiculous or distorted from reality. By the way, just so everybody knows, there was a good old not even left wing forecasters believe this stuff. There was a good old powwow with the Decision Desk guys yesterday, and they were just laughing at some of these. I mean, everybody knows there's a Republican response bias in the summer, but something that bad, Charlie, when was the last time you saw a competitive Senate race or a competitive governor's race in the state of Pennsylvania end up like that, even in good Democratic years, which nobody expects this one to be? The polls aren't getting any better.
I think they're suppression polls to keep Oz's, you know, fundraising down, to keep Mastriano's fundraising down, to just have people say, oh, well, I guess we're going to lose it. I mean, I got an email today, and, you know, for Ohio, someone emailed us, oh, Charlie, looks like JD's going to lose. Like, just stop it. Just more broadly here, Rich, can you talk about how silly it is to use July and August polls to determine a November outcome?
Yeah, especially with their record. So when public and media university polling, summer polling has not at all been predictive. And I have to say, you know, when it comes to this stuff with J.D. Vance in Ohio, I was talking with Bloomberg the other day when I was in Dallas, and the reporter was from Bloomberg. I'm from Ohio, Charlie. And he was asking me about polling in that race and in Pennsylvania. And he's like, look, you know, I'm from Mahoning. I'm from where Tim Ryan is. There is no chance he can win the state of Ohio. I'm wrong here. And I went back and looked, and I told him about this. Yeah. In 2020, you know, we looked back and we took Ohio off the table in September. There were still polls showing Biden winning the state of Ohio.
There was a Biden plus 5 poll a week before.
That's right. That's the New York Times. New York Times and Quinnipiac, Biden plus five. And then one day later, they moved it down to Biden plus four. Fox News right now is about Biden plus five in the state of Ohio. We took it off the table in September because, and I tweeted the link to this poll the other day, our poll was Trump plus nine. It was 49-40. And some of this is just that they don't
know. And Trump won by eight.
People.
Just so everyone knows, he won Ohio by eight.
That's right. Eight almost on the dot.
Yeah.
So he never, it was never closer than 6 points in favor of President Trump when we polled that state. So Pennsylvania was always within 2 points either way. I mean, 2 to 3 points. So our polling was very different than everybody else's. So, when people show me.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. I was just saying, when people show me these ridiculous polls in Arizona, when I just polled that state, Masters was down by 3 points. That's it.
Yeah.
And all the undecideds hate Joe Biden. So, I think he's doing pretty good for getting, like you said, for going against not only the guy who's the most well-funded Senate candidate ever, but we had to deal with this in Florida with Bill Nelson a little bit, this fake moderate NASA astronaut perspective. Yeah. And then also you coupled with that, you have Mark Kelly, I'm just going to be real, this sympathy vote. I mean, the man ran off of what happened
to
his wife.
Thing, of course, yeah. It's a real thing.
Yeah.
And we don't like what happened to his wife, but he plays it politically all the time.
He plays it.
Obviously.
Yep.
So let me ask you, Rich. Yeah. So there. Do you agree that there is a generic tightening? Do you think that there is a question that this is a red wave? Because when you and I were talking in May, it seemed as if it was a foregone conclusion. Would you agree with that?
I think that, the House is gone. I mean, this idea that Democrats I've heard this talk this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, the House is gone. It was always a question of whether or not the Senate would go. But I mean, again, Charlie, that's how these things go. It's very rare when one splits. Trump was able to do it in 18, but he did that because he did it. He ran all over
that's
the country
right.
and he saved
Indiana,
seats from
Missouri.
That's right, yep. man. That's right. And he made sure incumbents stayed and the new challengers in states that were pro-Trump were ousted, like Joe Donnelly and Claire McCaskill down the line.
That's right.
They don't have a Trump, man. They don't have a Trump. So I don't know where they're going to pull this from. All they have is Joe Biden.
Well, they have money. They have money on the media. They have money, media, and they have some election infrastructure that they can capitalize on. So I'm very pro-life, and I'm unapologetic about it. But I'm going to be honest. I'm a little bit worried that if it's all about the abortion issue, okay, going into November, that it could hurt some of our candidates. Am I wrong in that regard, Rich? Because they're running ads like crazy here in Arizona, and I have Republicans coming up to me saying, Charlie, look, I'm pro-life, not as pro-life as you, but my wife no longer likes Blake Masters and, all these people. And am I playing too much into their own game here, Rich?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, if it's still about abortion by the time the election comes along, then Republicans deserve to lose this election. There has never been so much ammunition. The media can talk about it all they want. But the fact is, Republicans should just stay on message and have a coherent answer. And we talked about this with somebody like a Walker, did not give a great answer. There could be some races around the country. Gibbs, he's going to have to be a little bit careful in a district like that. But as long as you don't come across sounding like Todd Akin, it really should not. It should not harm.
Yeah,
you.
They're going to try to force that hand, though, right? I mean, that's
they are, and people are going to have to be ready for that. Yes, absolutely.
No,
but
I don't think it's a top issue on a lot of voters' minds. But again, I know I sound like I'm repeating myself here, but it's important. I'm living in the swing state of swing states, and I watch a fair amount of stuff as I get my work done. It is nonstop abortion advertisement. That's all they're talking about. It is nonstop one issue. That is it. As if the border's not open, there's no enforcement.
North Carolina, too.
Is that right?
North Carolina, too. Absolutely. Constantly. They're going to take away this. I mean, you elect Ted Budd, and he's going to put a constitutional amendment forever banning abortion. I mean, the talk is over the top.
I'm a little bit concerned about it. I am not. I mean, again, I'm super pro-life, so I'm sympathetic to the but I want to win, right? I don't want to lose winnable races.
Yeah.
That could actually hurt the cause for life. So let me ask you, Rich, again. So can you just help me navigate this? I'm a little worried that if Republicans are not able to message on the abortion issue or if it becomes the primary issue, we lose, which actually is bad for the cause for life. And trust me, I'm not one to back away from a fight. Everyone knows that. But I want to win. I don't think it's wise to go in a direction or talk in a way that you're not necessarily literate. Can you help me navigate this, Rich?
Yeah, you know, and we've done some number crunching on this, though, Charlie, like primary turnout before and after Roe. You had the referendum and you had Minnesota that day as well. That was in the debate over turnout as well. But in truth, since we've had Arizona, we've had Wisconsin, Democrats are getting thrashed on turnout. Alaska, which is weird, and I know how it goes. People are wondering what's going to happen there. It's still the turnout. I haven't seen this kind of disproportionate turnout since 2010. And Democrats have voted pretty decently in Alaska primaries in the last few cycles, but they're just getting crushed. In Wisconsin, turnout was gangbuster for Republicans. Wyoming yesterday was historic. Arizona, record-breaking. So all throughout this primary season, Republicans have been really romping Democrats. And Democrats, obviously, they'd want it to be about abortion, too, so they could try to peel off some of those moderate Republicans. But, you know, talk about historic. It would be historic if a first-term incumbent midterm party with an unpopular president was allowed to use a single wedge issue to basically dominate the narrative across the board nationally. We did see people blow races on abortion before. Todd Akin, remember him?
And Murdoch.
Luger. Murdoch.
It was not Luger. He beat Luger in the primary, who was mayor of Indianapolis.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And he kind of got he wasn't even as bad as what Akin said, but he got swept along with it.
That's right.
It was a whole narrative. But things have changed since then. And, Obama wasn't that unpopular at this time. He really was not. The turnout edge is going to make a big difference here. And I think that people yesterday were debating, well, it looks like it could be an even electorate. To me, it doesn't look like it's going to be an even electorate.
I could ask you predictions and stuff too far away. It's that's not a great use of time. What is the biggest concern you have for Republicans going into November?
Leadership. The biggest concern I have with Republicans right now is leadership. Their messaging stinks. They're not, again, like I said to you, I really don't believe that they want to win a wave. They want a manageable majority. And at this point, I'm personally involved with a lot of these races, Charlie, and I'm telling you, from my perspective, it looks like they want these America Firsters to lose.
I totally agree. I think that's right.
I've been doing this a long time, buddy. I'm telling you, once your guy wins, it's a bitter fight, whatever. You all come together, or you lose, whatever. You come together. They're not doing this. They're intentionally trying to sabotage races. 100%.
Blake Masters, J.D. Vance, they're leaving them all out to dry.
They are leaving them exactly perfect candidates, perfect examples, leaving them out, hanging out to dry. Mitch McConnell leaks to Politico about them instead of, tries to.
I think JD's going to be okay. Blake has a path to victory. He just has to win Maricopa by one vote. That's it. You got to divide Maricopa into six different buckets and focus on the ones you can win on and lose less than the ones you're going to lose downtown.
That's
Phoenix.
Great advice.
Well,
that's great advice.
We live here, so hopefully they'll listen to us. But no guarantees. So, Rich, we're out of time. Big data polls, right? People's Pundit. How can people follow you? 10 seconds.
Yep. peoplespundit.locals.com is the best place to check out what we're doing, become a supporter or a member. Either one works for us. You'll be able to see what we're up to. And on Twitter and Getter, at People's Pundit. On Twitter is at @People's_Pundit. On Truth and Getter, just at People's Pundit.
So, Rich, I'm going to have to try to convince you to come on our live stream in November. We're already starting to tease it. I mean, you know the numbers we get.
I hear it.
All right? They're pretty epic. So if we can merge forces, it's going to be a night to remember. And we're going to be up to like 3 a.m. for the first vote to be counted in Arizona anyway. So it takes about seven and a half hours.
I'm hoping to have some serious features in November, Charlie. It'll be cool.
Big data polls. Check it out. People's Pundit. Rich Barris. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? Producer Andrew's right here doing an Ironman thanks to Relief Factor. And truth is, I know there are millions of people. In fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise or just getting older. That can do it, getting older, which is why I'm so impressed with the people at ReliefFactor.com. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. They recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back pain, neck pain, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pain, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted only $19.95. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Check it out right now, ReliefFactor.com. You should order the 3-week quick start too, discount only $19.95. See if it will work for you. I think it possibly could. Give your body what it needs to heal itself. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Check it out right now. Politico.com. GOP slashes ads in key Senate battlegrounds. The NRSC has canceled over $10 million in ad buys as candidates struggle with fundraising. As midterm election campaigns heat up in the Senate top battlegrounds, the National Republican Senatorial Committee is canceling millions of dollars of ad spending. The cuts, totaling $13.5 million since August 1st, comes as Republican Senate Campaign Committee is being forced to stretch every dollar we can. Republican nominees in critical states like Ohio, Pennsylvania, and North Carolina, places the Republicans must defend this fall, have failed to raise enough money to get themselves on air, requiring the NRSC to make cuts elsewhere to accommodate. Since August 1, the NRSC has cut ad buys in battleground states of Pennsylvania, $7.5 million, Arizona, $3.5 million, Wisconsin, $2.5 million, and Nevada, $1.5 million. One Republican strategist says, "What the hell is going on? Why are we cutting in August? I've never seen it like this before." And I have an answer to that because I believe we're the only show that has been telling people what is going on. Let's put this back up on screen, please. This is number 10. Shows exactly what is going on. When you call your voters traitors and you treat them so terribly with small dollar fundraising repeatedly, then don't be surprised when all of a sudden people don't want to give you money anymore. So look, the Democrats have no money disadvantage at all. I'm going to continue in the Politico article. And for those of you that are listening on radio, just so you understand, this text message that I'm referencing is just one of many sent out by what I believe sabotaging Republican consultants who send out these messages so forcefully, so repeatedly, so aggressively that it almost looks as if they're sabotaging the Republican Party. This is one sent out to Republican voters. Quote, "You are a traitor. You abandoned Trump." By the way, this is not even during an election cycle. This is months ago. "We were told you were a tried and true lifelong patriot. But when Trump said he'd run for president, if we took back the House from Nancy Pelosi, you did nothing. Was Trump wrong about you? This is your final chance to prove your loyalty or be branded a deserter. We're giving you one final chance to stand with Trump. You only have 17 minutes. Calling you a traitor if you don't give money a year out from an election he's not even running in. What's happening?" Politico.com. I'm going to read this again. "People are asking, what the hell is going on?" said one Republican strategist. "Why are we cutting in August? I've never seen anything like this before." People are fed up with all these emails and text messages. I have tried so hard to warn these consultants. Text message after text message. People are losing it. They don't want this anymore. We did a whole show on this weeks ago. We received very warm response from you at freedom@charliekirk.com. Warm meaning you agreed with me. And they don't care. Now, the other part is this, though, and this is important, is that the easy money supply has also been cut off. Corporations are no longer enthusiastic about giving money to Republicans. Good. We like that. For example, an easy couple hundred grand you might be able to raise used to be able to go work the phones and call Pfizer, call AstraZeneca, call Moderna, call their lobbyists, call the people representing them. That's a $250,000 afternoon. One fundraiser, hear about their nonsense, promise you'll never look into vaccine adverse events, talk about how everyone needs vaccines, about how it's this wonderful medical technology. Next thing you know, your campaign coffers are full and you can go up with ads in the state of Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Arizona. Republicans aren't really willing to do that, and corporations, they no longer want to do that. They give that money to Schumer. They give that money to the left. Now, some Republicans do that, but not all. You see, it stopped really after January 6th, too. A lot of these major corporations no longer want to give to Republicans. And part of that, by the way, is freedom for our side. They could talk about what they want to do when they want to do it. But the larger point is they're wondering, where's all these grassroots donations? You have treated your audience so poorly. You have abused your audience so terribly by emailing them relentlessly, calling them traitors, sending them text messages. Don't be surprised now when it's gone off a cliff. Democrats are raising more money than ever before. And here's the thing. Money does not win elections. It doesn't. But if we're not even able to get up on TV at all, I could tell you in Arizona right now, Blake Masters, everywhere I go, it's anti-Blake Masters. Everywhere. If we don't even get a little bit of money, we are going to not, we're going to lose in November. We spend a fair amount of time talking about Republicans that don't need your support. One that does need your help and support. He is running for Senate in the great state of Ohio. And he's in a tough race. Tim Ryan is a real deceitful fella, I'll tell you what. But J.D. Vance is running a great race, and we're going to get him across the finish line in November. And he will be a phenomenal senator. J.D. joins us right now. J.D., welcome back to the program.
Hey, Charlie. Thanks for having me, man.
How's your race going? Give us the update.
Yeah, it's going good. You know, the good thing is the people in Ohio are just frustrated with Biden and Tim Ryan. They're frustrated with the fact that these guys have made energy way more expensive than it needs to be. They're frustrated with the fact that they're so radical on every issue to where if you think that we should have a secure southern border in this country, then Tim Ryan and Joe Biden basically think that you're a racist. And I always tell people, look, we've got a ton of fentanyl pouring into our state that's killing a lot of our people. I don't care what they call us. We got to defend that southern border and actually shut it down. But the one thing that he does have going for him is just a ton of money. And so I always tell people, if you want to help us out, go to jdvance.com, because the National Democrats, Charlie, have built this incredible national fundraising platform. It's actually in some ways impressive. Of course, part of what's going on is that they have the advantage of the big technology companies. And so if you look at the censorship of a Republican fundraising email, the rate at which it's put into people's spam filters, into people's junk box folders, and you compare that to Democratic fundraising emails, I mean, it's crazy. It's like 80% of Republican emails are getting filtered. Maybe 5% of Democrat fundraising emails are getting filtered. So we're really in a fundraising war where the Democrats have aligned with the big tech industry. And because of it, we need all the help that we can get. If we get it, though, and you know, if we're able to tell our story, Charlie, I'm not worried about our race at all. And I think we are going to have a red wave because people are fed up.
Yeah. So can you build that out a little bit more? Because this is a very curious thing to our audience, which is, talk about Act Blue just a little bit. And we just did a whole segment before this, JD, on how Democrats have more money than they know what to do with, about how it's coming in from out of state, and how some Republican groups are cutting back actually advertising that they would have otherwise thought that they would get. Can you just help explain that? Because our audience is not used to that. Usually Republicans are the ones that have more corporate money and all that, but that's no longer the case, it seems.
No, it's really changed, in part because a lot of the corporations, of course, have been bullied and cowed into completely avoiding politics, even when their interests align with Republican Party values. I mean, these people have gone so woke, they're being harassed by their employees. So they've completely gone to the left side of the political spectrum. And at the same time, like, if you look at my Democrat opponent, Tim Ryan, right, he's a guy who pretends to be a moderate. Of course, he votes with Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden 100% of the time. But all of his money is coming from out of state. The guy has no support organically within the state of Ohio. It's all coming from New York, from California, from Illinois, from Massachusetts. Now, so take just example, one of the biggest companies that's supporting him, of course, it's Google, arguably the most powerful technology company in the entire world. It's not just that Google's leadership is supporting Tim Ryan. It's not just that the Silicon Valley leadership
is supporting this guy. But it's the infrastructure, too.
it's the infrastructure and it's the employees. Okay, so think these employees, they're maybe not super wealthy, but they're certainly doing a lot better off than the average American. And if every single one of those employees writes a $100 check to 20 different Democrats, and that's what they do through this Act Blue digital fundraising platform, Charlie, and it's a huge advantage for the left.
Yeah, and so, I mean, there is a Republican equivalent called Win Red, but it hasn't gotten even close to what the left has been able to do. And if so, you go to actblue.com, they've raised over $10.6 billion for Democrat causes. And I mean, the same way that a, you know, someone from Ohio would, Middleton, Ohio, would tie to their church, a liberal in Tacoma, Washington ties to their candidates. They look at it with religious fervor and zeal. So let's talk about this Inflation Reduction Act. How did Tim Ryan vote?
Well, of course, he voted for it, Charlie, after parading around the state in his TV commercials saying that he wanted a middle class tax cut for the people of Ohio, which, of course, is a good idea. And, a ridiculous coming from Tim Ryan because he's never voted for a tax cut in his life. And of course, he voted for a middle class tax increase, which is one of the things the Inflation Reduction Act does. The other thing it does, of course, it does many things. One of the other things it does is hire 87,000 IRS agents that will be used against small and medium-sized businesses all across the state of Ohio. And still, the final thing that it does is it puts a ton of money into the green energy boondoggles, even though we know that most of the green energy stuff comes from the Chinese Communist Party. So in the name of supporting America's working class, the Democrats, including Tim Ryan, have dumped a ton of money into the Chinese Communist Party and a bunch of IRS agents to harass middle-class Americans. Doesn't make any sense. It's going to be really bad. It's one of these things that when we get power in Washington in 2022, we really need to change this stuff and try to defund a lot of what's in the Inflation Reduction Act. But it does nothing to reduce inflation. It's the Inflation Corruption Act, and it's going to cause a lot of problems in addition to the extra inflation.
Yeah, so a question we're getting from a lot of people is, how do we roll back these 87,000 new IRS agents? I gave this advice to Blake Masters right on the air, and you and Blake have something in common, first of which I'm enthusiastically behind you guys. The second of which is you're both running against candidates who didn't just voice support for it, they casted votes for 87,000 new IRS agents. And so just talk about what your plan would be to hopefully, not a little bit of oversight, but have some removal of these agents or something. I mean, can we reallocate IRS agents to the border? Your thoughts, JD?
Well, I wish that we could. And in fact, we can actually. We went back to the Senate in 2022, Charlie. So if you think about it, most of these agents are going to be hired after the new Congress is sworn. It's going to take 10 years to hire all of these people. And that's if they're lucky. Of course, a lot of American businesses can't find workers right now. And that's a big problem here is they're competing. The government is competing with American workers in the middle of a worker shortage. And I think that what we just have to do is say we're cutting off the money spigot. We cannot hire 87,000 people. And if they hire 7,000 additional IRS agents, okay, whatever, maybe not perfect, but it's the 80,000 on top of that that we really have to stop.
Well, I just emphasize a visual here. Connor, you can get a picture here. That is more seats than at Paul Brown Stadium. I want everyone to understand that. And you're wearing a Bengals shirt, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
And I'm a big Joe Burrow fan. Not really a Bengals fan, but that's a separate issue. I'm a Joe Burrow fan. And there, I think I just looked it up. There are 65,000 seats at Paul Brown Stadium. 65,000 seats. And who's going to go take these jobs at the IRS? It's not going to be, you know, moderate, prudent, kind of tempered people from Central Ohio. It's going to be ideologues, right? Let's get that up on screen here. Talk about how everyday normal people are going to be the targets of the IRS. It's not going to be the ruling class. It's not the protected class. They have accountants and lawyers and all this. Talk about how this is a targeting campaign against the muscular class, of which Ohio has a fair amount of people in that community.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. So one, just look at the statistics of the current audit rates, Charlie. So, we have 800 billionaires in this country. The left says that these agents are going to go after the billionaires. But even with the IRS agents that we have right now, you're much more likely to be audited if you're a middle class guy, if you're a working class guy. Disproportionate share of the targets are these guys. Now, very often, of course, the IRS finds that you didn't do anything wrong. But as you know, Charlie, the problem is not that these IRS agents are going to find wrongdoing. The problem is that they're going to harass people make them go through expensive processes in order to clear their name. And let's say, you don't owe any additional tax to the IRS. You're a middle-class guy. You make $80,000 a year. You don't owe anything extra to the IRS, but you do have to pay a lawyer a couple thousand dollars sure that you don't get anything against you. That's the problem, Charlie. It's the harassment. It's the legal expense of a bunch of people who are doing the right thing and shouldn't be expected to justify themselves to the IRS.
An average audit costs $20,000 to defend yourself. So we got an email the other day, freedom@charliekirk.com. Come on, Charlie, just pay your taxes. Who cares? Nice guy, I'm sure, that sent that email. That is such a foolish thing to say. That is someone who has never had to battle these regulatory agencies. So, JD, I want to broaden this a little bit. The last week, we have seen kind of this incredible aggression and advance from the fourth branch of government, FBI, IRS, at every level. This is something where the Senate has a lot of power. And if we take back the Senate, what is your mandate going to be to be an effective check and balance against this out of control fourth branch of government?
Well, you know, one of the things, of course, is just defunding the agencies like these additional 87,000 IRS agents that are going to go and harass normal Americans, Charlie. But part of it is just oversight. You know, I've criticized the FBI raid on Trump's home because I simply think that if you're going to do that to a former president, a likely future presidential candidate, you got to have an extraordinary justification to do it. And the one pushback I've gotten that I think is fair is, well, look, you have to let the process play out. And my argument is one of the ways in which the process plays out is for the Senate to provide oversight of the Department of Justice leadership. Because if we've learned anything about our government in the last couple of years, it's that Merrick Garland, the guy who harasses parents for protesting at school board meetings, is a corrupt political actor and he needs to be investigated. So, yes, we need to let the process work out. And part of that is ensuring the Senate exercises proper oversight. We cannot just let this go. I don't think our voters are going to stand for it, but even if they would, the right thing to do is to ensure that these hyper-political actors face some investigation and potentially some prosecution if they've broken the law when they do these things that threaten the basic public trust that Americans have in their government.
That's exactly right. I want to play a piece of tape here just to show on television. I played this earlier. It's very creepy. This is a training video of, did you see this, JD, on the internet yet? Have you seen this? Of potential IRS agents entering a room with firearms, training them on how to arrest people for conspiracy. This should really worry people. Play cut 66.
Never identify yourself.
Federal agent.
Freeze.
Put your hands up.
Put your hands up.
They're in the rest of you, Marisa.
Where's that hand up? Put your hands up. It's not moving.
I have a gun. Yeah, I have a permit. It's legal.
Behind your back.
Can we take your weapon, please?
Well, if you're going to ask me, I don't know. I'm going to say no.
All right. Spread your legs.
I'm getting arrested.
Hey, do you have any other weapons on you?
No. Nope.
You're under arrest for conspiracy.
Really quick, JD, 20, 30 seconds, your thoughts.
Which is pretty freaky. Why do the IRS, why do these agents, would they ever need to bring a gun
to investigate people
for tax evasion? It just doesn't make any sense. And again, we're living in a country, I think President Trump said recently, we need to bring the temperature down a little bit. Sending the DOJ the DOJ leadership going after the former president and posting videos of the internet of armed IRS agents, that's raising the temperature in the country. These people actually care about our democracy. If they actually care about peace and stability in this country, they need to chill out a little bit because they're doing things that make everybody a little angrier, a little more frustrated. And if they really care about this country, they say they do, they should be trying to reduce the temperature, not increase it.
Stay right there, JD. If you guys want to support JD directly, we're getting some emails about that. Charlie, where do I support? Go to candidates' websites directly. It's jdvance.com. Don't go to all these other weird things. First, go, unless you've maxed out, go to jdvance.com. I want to tell you guys about an event we're doing with JD and Governor DeSantis on August 19th, 2 days from now on Friday. I want to tell you about it. Doors open at 6 p.m. JD speaks at 7:30 and Ron DeSantis at 7:50. It's at the Metroplex Expo Center in Girard, Ohio. JD, what part of Ohio is that?
That's the northeastern part of the state, not too far, actually, Charlie, from Youngstown, where I understand Ron DeSantis actually has some family, but also one of our great and proud manufacturing capitals, not just of Ohio, but really of the entire country. You know, one of these places where 50 years ago, it was possible to raise a family on a single middle-class steelworker's income, and now the community's just been devastated because some of the decisions that have been made by Tim Ryan, but look, we're being honest. Bad decisions that have been made by bipartisan leaders for 30 years. The real problem with Tim Ryan is not that he's a radical departure. It's that he's the same thing that has failed this country and failed this state for the past 20 years. He actually represents Youngstown, and it's one of the areas that has lost the most in terms of prosperity in our state
totally
the last
agree.
20 years.
Yeah, a good friend of mine who passed away, a big donor of Turning Point, was from Hubbard, Ohio. And I went to there for his funeral, and I saw it. Boy, you want to see deindustrialized America. Drive through Hubbard, Ohio. A lot of dollar stores, not a lot of manufacturing plants anymore. So there's an interesting email here, JD. I want to read it. Hi, Charlie. Love your show. In regards to why our candidates aren't doing as well, I'd like to remind you that middle-class Americans are now paying over $100 a week more in groceries, $4.50 a gallon for gas. There's no money left to send support. I've donated in the past, and they have. What seems our party with money had gotten us into this situation. I'm praying we can pull this off, get our country back. It's interesting, JD, this kind of more broadly, as the Republican Party becomes more of a working class party with inflation, that actually might be one of the reasons why it's harder to raise money right now. Your thoughts?
It's exactly right. It's one of the things that's happened is that as our people have become, you know, more middle class, more working class, and I'm proud of that, right? I want our party to go in that direction because those are the people who built this country with their bare hands. At the same time, they're getting crushed by Tim Ryan and Joe Biden's policies more than anybody else. So it's not surprising they don't have the same, you know, the same income laying around that they can donate to political candidates. That's fine. I'd say give what you can. But whatever you can do, help us out because we're going to win this race and we're going to make it easier for those people to live a good life in this country.
And then secondly, there's another person who's, that's why I love our audience. I learned so much. They said, Charlie, I don't give to candidates anymore because I don't want to get audited. Isn't that something? And that goes to show the sad state of affairs that we're in right now.
So let me tell you this, Charlie, just a quick story on this. We heard this today and I'll try to anonymize this so nobody gets in trouble. We had somebody reach out, good friend of mine, great people. They said that a journalist reached out to them and was asking them questions. And at the same time, they were called by anonymous Democratic investigators and basically told, if you talk to this journalist, we're going to make life harder for you. So people are getting harassed out there. This is a reality,
totally.
Charlie. It's
yes.
real bad news.
Oh, I could go through again. I don't want to breach any confidentiality because people have really confided in me. I know of at least 20 to 25 active audits and investigations that are completely baseless of hyper-political people right now that have given substantially, that are outspoken, that are vocal, at least 20 to 25. And they come to me and they say, Charlie, do you know about it? Don't say anything yet because it's ongoing. And isn't kind of also the process the punishment in some of this, right, JD? They string it on for 5 or 7 or 9 years sometimes because for them, they get paid all the same. But if they can rob you of your inner peace or some money, it doesn't matter if there's a crime or not, they'll just throw you through the ringer.
Absolutely. One of the most annoying things, just to go back to this 87,000 IRS agent story, is people will say, well, if you pay your taxes, you don't need to worry about being audited. You know, like, aren't those people who say that supposed to be the social justice warriors? Would you say to somebody who's indicted for a criminal charge, oh, well, if you're innocent, you don't need to hire an attorney? These things are expensive. Even when you are innocent, even when you've done nothing wrong, it still costs money to go through this process. That's the core of the harassment.
Yeah, that's totally true. So the border is wide open, JD, massive issue in Ohio. Your opponent has done nothing to address it really quick. Your thoughts on the southern border crisis?
Yeah, I just think it shows how ridiculous his priorities are. So a few years ago, you know, he invited somebody to the State of the Union address, was an illegal alien, right? And I don't know the guy's story, but let's be honest, Tim Ryan's obligation is not to people who broke the laws to get into this country. His obligation is to people who are dying because of the drugs and the crime that we're letting come across the southern border. You owe an obligation to American citizens and American citizens first. So that's the problem with this entire border situation. It's not that there aren't good people. It's not that there aren't reasons for compassion. It's that if you're an elected leader of this country, your obligation ought to be to the people who are dying at record rates. And it's not just, Charlie, the opioid problem. It's not just about the people who are affected by it directly. Think of the generation of young kids who have been orphaned by this because their parents can't take care of them. Think of the grandparents living on a fixed income who are now taking care of grandkids they weren't expecting to take care of. This poison coming across the southern border is one of the main problems in our country, and it is despicable that Tim Ryan doesn't care at all about it.
JDVance.com. You can go support JD directly. He's in a tough race. It's a very winnable race. JD's general is up against a total fake. If we have a red wave, Ohio has become a redder state, but they can elect Democrat senators too, Sherrod Brown and all that nonsense. Let's not let that happen. JDVance.com. JD, keep it up. And also our event, tpaction.com/DeSantis. JD and Governor DeSantis having a great event brought to you by Turning Point Action coming up on Friday. JD, see you soon.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts. As always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.